Hey, this is Steli FD.
And this is Eaton Cha, and today we're talking about firefighting. I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Yes, so in the context of business and life, this is not like real physical, like putting out fires.
Well, if you've got like, if anybody here is a firefighter, mm-hmm. has anyone that's ever been firefighting or knows somebody who's a firefighter, I'd love to get their take on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know anything about firefighting. I just know what I see. And we're going to use the analogy and probably butcher it, but it was the best one I have for something that I'm just always thinking about now.
Which is?
Firefighting.
Which means?
Well, there's a bigger analogy here, but like the simple framework here is like, you know, the weeds of a business, the trees of a business, those are just the tactical things that you're doing, right? Like that's why they say you're in the weeds, right? Mm-hmm. You're really deep in,
yeah.
Or like you're looking at the trees, right? But you're not looking at the forest.
Yeah.
So that's forest is a higher level. So to me, firefighting is like there's some trees on fire, right? And you're coming in firefighting, right?
Yeah.
And if you're constantly in that mode, as a founder, CEO, leader of a team, manager, even a team member oftentimes, and you can't go up and see the bigger picture of the whole forest, right? Then you're just constantly only able to attack what's in front of you. When a whole another part of your business, if your business is, let's say, a forest, right, is totally on fire, you can't even see it, right? You're just not able to look at things holistically.
Holistically, yeah. It's interesting. So would we say then that when you are putting out fires – as a founder, let's say, in a startup, that what you're doing is you have to fix urgent and unexpected issues. Like that may be a good framework
that's
of thinking.
That's what a fire is.
Right? That's what a fire is.
Unexpected. I love it. Yeah. It's urgent, unexpected.
Unexpected.
Yeah.
Because it's not problem solving.
No.
Right? It's not the same as problem solving.
No.
It is something that needs to be fixed right now and that nobody saw coming, right? So that's why it's a fire. And that really, if you do that all the time, it kind of, once in a while, I'm not sure if it's completely avoidable. That's an interesting topic. Could you have a business where you have no fires at all times? And what does that mean? What kind of a business is that?
If you're not trying to change things, right? If you're not trying to improve, then yeah, absolutely. You can have a business where you're just happy with it.
But right? everybody else needs to be happy too. So you.
Oh, the people on the team? Oh, yeah. Everyone just needs to be happy with status quo.
I call that
status quo. If you're not firefighting, you're just like, I don't care what happens. Right? And there is businesses like that. I ran one of my businesses like that for a while.
But so if you have like, let's say a status quo business, right? And you're like, we found a place we like, right? And we'll keep doing what we're doing. You need to also be in an industry or market that doesn't change a lot, at least not as frequently, because it's hard to be status quo if your market changes all the time.
Let's say your services business with 10 team members and 20 customers.
Yeah, you're going to
right and you're making money and you know you're at that rate you're making some decent six figures.
Yeah. Right? The market might be changing, but the services market the way that you like serve clients and doing work for them, that stays the same. It's different than when you are like a gaming company, building games, right? You can't just say, we have a game we like, let's keep the status quo.
You actually see it in the gaming companies too. So if they find a pattern, they just keep repeating it and don't find a new pattern, like whether it's the Farmville and then all the other villes, Cityville, et cetera. It's the same model and mechanic.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, right? If that's what's working.
Yeah.
But like I'd say that's almost not having to firefight, not having to find new things, not having to like try to improve something. It's just like we'll just repeat it. We'll stamp it out.
Yeah.
Stamp it out is another way to think about it.
Yeah. So if if unexpected and urgent matters come up frequently, that typically points that there's – I mean, any urgent and unexpected issue that comes up, there's a deeper rooted question of like, was this really as unexpected? What was the possible prevention that we could have done to make sure that this fire would have never occurred, right?
So one tactic, and I'm sure you've got a few, so we can go into that here. One tactic I learned from Eric Ries is the five whys from the Toyota production stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like if you're firefighting, like once it's over, We can argue whether it was a good firefighter or not, or whether you should be, but that, let's not get into that. But let's say you're firefighting, it's over, yeah. right? You just do a five whys of why, what root caused it? Why did this happen? And then they have another step on that, which is find the next incremental step to prevent this next time. Yeah. So once you root cause it, find a way to solve that problem, the root cause of it, in some incremental small step to make sure you're at least mitigated, they're mitigating the risk for the future. And oftentimes people don't do that after they firefight. They move on to the next fire.
Yes, they move on to the next fire, or they kind of exhale and they go, ah, let me just fucking relax and not. The problem is that potentially that like letting go of issues and just relaxing for a moment is what causes the next fire.
This is true.
Right? Yeah. Is what causes the next fire.
Might be the hardest part of starting something, right? Or like just running a business, which is like you don't get to relax. You're almost, I'm always waiting for the next problem. I'm just prepared.
Yeah.
I might have said this before. I recall saying this, but I'd rather just be prepared. If that causes some burden on myself, that's okay. I just don't want to be prepared because I know what happens if I'm not prepared for something bad.
I think that, I mean, at the end of the day, as an entrepreneur on a very high level, you're a problem solver, right? By default.
I agree.
If you're any type of leader, you're a problem solver by default. So the reason why you're in the position you are is that you've solved more problems and that you deal with problems better than others because you've been exposed or you've exposed yourself to so many more.
Yep.
So where one fire or problem might overwhelm somebody, you go, oh, I've done this 1,000 times. It's uncomfortable. It's never like
I know it sucks.
Fun.
It's what it looks like.
But yes. Like, but your reaction to it is a different one, right?
And absolutely. It's a reaction. You're right.
And that allows you to act in a different way and usually to put out the fire much faster than somebody that's, oh my God, it's the same thing like if a fire was to occur in this apartment right now, we will act probably, but there's going to be some hesitation, some panic, because we've never seen a real like fucking fire, right? But if you're a firefighter, you're prepared for that.
Totally.
You've done this a million times or many times.
Let's
go. You still have adrenaline. You still have some respect and fear, but your
reaction is different.
Your reaction is different to it, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a lot of, the people that I talk to when you talk to younger founders, but also when you talk to employees on your team, you can just tell that when a fire occurs for them, they still build that muscle up when for them things seem a lot more overwhelming, a lot faster than they do for you typically. And they did for me as well 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
This is partly the I don't want to call it fun, but the fun are the interesting parts of like helping other people.
Yeah.
Other founders, other people going through it, because like you get to see this over and over again, more than even yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's learn from others' mistakes.
Yeah.
On this one, I think it really applies.
Yeah.
So I've had fun doing that.
So I love the 5-why framework. Let's not beat that up too much. And people, there's a super small, like 3-minute video on YouTube. If you type in Eric Ries 5-whys, you'll find it. So he gives good examples of this.
Totally.
What are other things, other frameworks to think about fire? So one thing that we said is after it's out, fight the urge to let go and relax and forget about everything, but take the moment to do like a postmortem, a 5-whys. Why did this happen? How can we, what's the smallest incremental thing we can do to prevent this to happen again?
Yeah.
What's another thing that businesses and founders can do to both put out fires, but also to make sure that not as many fires occur?
I still really love the analogy of like, let's go look at the forest.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Right? And like, I think a big thing for me, which is probably another episode at some point, is like common language. I know we've talked about words, but there's like common language, which
alignment
is an extension.
Was a big thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah, all these things have come up, right?
Yeah.
And so I think the common language around this for me, like, and I'll just go into the explanation because it'll probably help or frame, but I think when you're looking at the world, especially the business world, like some people are in space. Right? Everyone can be in all these levels. So I'm not trying to get it twisted, but I would say that investors are usually in space.
Yeah.
Public market investors,
venture capital investors.
Yeah.
This is not your status in the world.
Not at all.
Like
let's clarify. Yeah, this is the way you look at things, right? When you're in space, you look at a lot of forests.
Yep.
When you're in the sky, that's usually where a founder is on the highest level or a CEO or a leader is they're trying to look at sort of not just their business, but a lot of other businesses too.
Yeah.
Right? And then when you're in the forest, you're in one of those businesses. Usually it's yours, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're helpful or something or have a friend and want to look at their business, help them out. And then there's the trees, which is where most of your team members are,
yeah.
right? They're just fighting around the trees, trying to figure things out, right? Like fix things so that you can actually just compete with other forests, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Win battles. I don't know. Make your forest bigger. I don't know. I haven't gone that far, right? And I like using that because I think the next step is like if you're firefighting, you're in between the trees somewhere. But you have to come up and say, okay, there was a firefight there. For me, it's like if I firefought, I'm trying to get to the forest fast. I might even go into space. Mm. And the reason is I made the mistake.
Yeah.
Right. So like, and I'll give a quick story about this, but like at Kissmetrics, we had a really bad lawsuit by some technical stuff we did that implied we were doing some really bad stuff on the back end. Like bad stuff, meaning like against people's privacy.
Yeah.
Right. The truth is we weren't doing that and we proved it, but that made it so the business that I thought was venture funded and was designed for growth had to be designed for what my co-founder knew how to do, which was running a small business, right. Mm-hmm. Or running a business that a venture capitalist would call small, right? Whatever way you want to look at it. And so we ended up starting firefighting from that day. And it was one big fire, which was this big lawsuit that took like 2 years to get done, right? And in that time, we couldn't do anything but firefight the whole time because we were a very small company, just launched the product publicly and had to now firefight. And what I was unable to do or realize is that I was firefighting the whole time in that company till the day I left it personally.
Yeah.
From that moment that big fire started.
Okay.
Right. It was almost even worse because there's fires all around you and you're stuck. and so we couldn't see the forest. Right. So there's probably like a few things we could have done that were small, regardless of our firefighting, that would have just changed the direction of the company. But I couldn't see it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about these examples.
Yeah. For sure. You were
able to like get one level. Yeah. When you say fires, I assume I instantly interpret this that there was not just working on this lawsuit thing, but there were implications like,
Couldn't raise money for two years.
Employees being
So the team, I have to say, and I'm not trying to like, you know, tout anyone's horn or anything, but like, and I don't think it was me. I just think the team was very resilient through the struggle, right? Like we had hired a VP of sales. His name's Ben Salder. I'm sure you know him, right?
Data Nice.
Yeah, he started that after. And he was our head of sales at the time. And I'm like, dude, you were just here 3 months. Like, it's okay. Like, I'll still give you a good recommendation. I like you, you know, like you could bounce. It's cool. He's like, no, this is cool. Let's go. Right. And I'm like, all right, great. But hopefully it was a good decision for him. Anyways. And so the story there is like, I'll give one good example. Right. We at the time, like we were probably the one of the first of the next kind of cohort of how data and analytics was going to be looked at by marketers specifically. And we had a competitor Mixpanel. Right. And we hadn't decided whether we were going to stay with a free plan or go to a paid plan completely. Our intuition was a free plan, as a lot of people know. But the second the lawsuit hit, we just had to start making money.
Mm.
Right? And we had a bigger problem, which is that lawsuit, the reason it was such a big deal is it was us and 24 of our customers. So we essentially got our customers sued.
Mm.
So we had to fight it. Yeah, like morally, ethically, my co-founder and I would not, like we just had to go and fight it so that we impacted those companies the least.
Because
that would really suck, right? Yeah. I wouldn't want a partner of ours like that to like get sued and then screw us over like completely because of it, right? Yeah. So we try to protect that, right? So that sucked. But essentially from the lawsuit on, like the key thing was Mixpanel was free. We were debating free and paid. We went paid because we had to make money.
Mm.
When in hindsight, we should have went free.
Mm.
And that was one simple thing. I figured personally, this was a very debated it with the team, but it was my decision at the end of the day because we were in war then, like massive, just war and losing, right? Like, and everyone, they just got in, right? Taking over the castle, whatever you want to call it. And so we were sitting there, and I was like, I don't think we can afford to go freemium. Mm. And I think I was wrong.
Okay.
Because that probably would have kept us way more competitive and kept that startup love we had. Because that usually startup love in a SaaS business usually comes from free.
Yeah.
You want startups to love you, make it free.
Yeah.
Right? And give it to them. They'll love you, guaranteed. Right? All right. So we just couldn't do it.
Okay.
Right? And I couldn't see the forest.
Okay.
Because I was trying to make sure the company survives through that because we had to fight the lawsuit.
But this is an interesting one. So I'm conflicted about this.
Yeah, go for
independently,
it. Yeah.
Independently from the example itself, and we have a past episode where we talk about freemium, and people know CloseIO, there's no freemium, we should do a follow-up on that episode someday.
Yeah.
But independent from the exact example, you know, there are situations where, you know, let's say you're in a lawsuit, you know we can't raise more money. So your number one priority is how we're going to make the business survive.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It still might be the right thing. So I might not be as conflicted, but there's decisions that you need to make that are a bit more short-term at times,
sure.
Right? Because you need to get from A to B before you can think about Z. So keeping the balance between being practical and not like in the clouds and fixing the problem 4 years from now when you're like drowning now, but then also thinking strategically, not making that balance is so tough. How do you know to find the balance?
Context there is we went into survival mode when we shouldn't have gone that far into survival mode.
That fast,
because we never got out of it.
Mm.
Since I was at the company, we never got out of it. Mm. Couldn't see that that's what we were in.
Mm.
So it's like there's a bunch of reverbing effects by even just saying, oh, we can't afford to do that.
Mm.
Right? And a bunch of stuff like that. So I think in that specific case, we could debate freemium or not, right?
Yep.
Everyone knows my opinion on it by now. And if they don't, I love freemium.
Yeah.
And we'll probably do another episode on it. But like, I'm sure because of what we had then and what we would have needed to keep, there were some things we could have done way differently. But that's all hindsight, right? But at the end of the day, the framework I use is I just couldn't see the forest. And I couldn't see the other forest. And I couldn't see what the future looked like in an appropriate way because I was sitting there just firefighting. I should have just found time to just come up for air.
Yeah.
And then we fire fought for however long it took.
Yeah, yeah. That's such an interesting challenge, I think, that we all have, which is where when things are really tough, you're in such a reactive mode that it's tough to switch modes to proactive.
Yeah.
You're so just responding all day long. It's very tough for you to act, you know, or take a moment and really gain clarity on what's really going on right now. What is the big picture here? And this is just maybe not just in entrepreneurship, in life in general. It's a challenging habit to cultivate is the ability to step back from all the noise and gain a little bit of clarity, gain a little bit of perspective and go, what's really going on here? Yeah. What am I trying to do? And, you know, for me, and I think we talked about this in the past, I'm pretty sure. But for me, when I firefight in a non-productive way, the framework or the language that I use that hits home with me is that I find myself being attached. So the way I react is one that's very like clinging onto the problem, feeling like it's very important. We need to, this fire is going to kill all of us. And I have a certain negativity, a certain stress, a certain attachment to the issue and the consequences of it. And when I feel that, the framework of saying, don't be attached, be dedicated. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. So what? If this thing burns down, whatever.
It's okay.
It's one fucking part of the forest. The forest is big. Life goes on. The universe is massive.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is not the end all be all. No. And that just takes me out of that mind frame. Yeah. And I go, I still want to be dedicated to fixing this. It's not that I want to close my eyes and pretend there's no fire or pretend it doesn't matter. But I don't want to pretend it's all that matters.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just realizing, detecting that inner state, the way the framework, the way I think, the way I approach things that make me go, oh, shit, I need to switch my mind frame here.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference for me. But it's I find it to be tough because there's also...
Well, firefighting comes with a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
I don't know how firefighters handle that,
right?
Because there could be bodies in there, people in there. You got to save them. Like all those, and I think that all those things are, there's equivalence when you think about it with this framework because, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is like, this is the number one thing we're going to see going forward for a lot of funded companies, right? Which is like, people are going to start firefighting because they're trying to cut staff, they're trying to, you know, get capital efficient. And here's the truth, like, if you're not going to be able to raise more money, regardless, right? And I know that's not all of our audience, but it's a really good lesson here.
Yeah.
If you can't keep your company running, then you're going to have to take extreme measures. And that looks like firefighting for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, this one you can see coming, which is I'm not going to be able to raise money. I got maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, hopefully longer left, right? And then you got to figure out what to do. So I've had a lot of conversations like that. I've had other conversations where there's certain types of people, personality types that like are so go, go, go. If they feel like, if they get really good at just finding problems, solving problems, they get into firefighting mode. And then it's hard to come out and be like, wait, there's a forest here. Let's go look at all the fires and pick the right ones at the right time instead of just attacking the ones in front of us, right? It's like you have to step back, right? And I think you're constantly firefighting in a business. So that's another like part of this that like I just want to hit on, which is like you got to get used to having that bucket and always having that, because I think that's what really moves the needle. When you're like, where's the biggest fire?
Yeah.
I'm like, where's the biggest fire?
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of a new thing I think about. And so to kick myself out of a current problem, it's like, is this the biggest fire? Is there a bigger one somewhere? I look around, you know, like literally I'm like, all right, maybe I need to go up. Then I'll go talk to people. Hey, I'm thinking blah, blah, blah. Right. Is that the biggest problem right now? Like I've done this.
Yeah.
Right. Is that the biggest problem right now? And it's, I do that especially when I think there's no problems. I just try to think of like, what's the biggest one?
Yeah.
Right. It's almost like finding problem. But like I use that strategy a lot. So
I like that because so this is something I think that I struggled with in the past without being aware of it. And I had this conversation once, you know, the Ben Horowitz's book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things.
Great book.
And one of the people that work here was like, we were talking about, you know, they have the framework of wartime CEO versus peacetime CEO.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody was asking me, oh, Stelly, are you a wartime CEO or peacetime CEO? And my response was, I don't fucking know. Like, I've never been to war with another company necessarily in my mind. So I'm like, I don't know. And then one of my employees was like, oh, Stelly's definitely a wartime CEO. And I'm like, why are you saying that? He's like, because if things go wrong, if there's a problem, you snap into a level of focus and action. You know what to do, how to do it, and you get it done. It's like you're on. But if everything is great, you're maybe not as on. You're not as intense. You just relax a little bit. And I do think that in the past, like when if there's a big problem, I can thrive on that and I don't panic. And that's something where I can just step up to the plate. But when there's not, I'm not necessarily always looking for what's going to be the next big problem. And also with the fire thing, with the fire analogy, one interesting thing about this is that if there was a tiny piece of paper that was like burning and you could tell there is – you know, it's on stone. It's on something that's not going to cut. Nothing's going to happen. It's still, some people, I think, habitually, there's fire. So you're still going to give this all your attention, although it's tiny and irrelevant. Versus over there, there's a gas leak, right? And there's no fire. You don't see any fire yet. Yeah. But that's really what's the dangerous thing.
To me, a gas leak is a fire.
Yes.
Right. At this point, I'm just like, all right, fire, gas leak, fire. Already. Like, someone's going to spark that thing, right? Like,
So being able to have the mind frame that, I mean, maybe another way of thinking of this is like either you're fighting fires or you're preventing them, right?
Yeah.
And
it's like preventative medicine.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
So thinking
Smokey the Bear.
Yeah. Smokey the Bear. So thinking holistically about what's going on.
You can prevent forest fires, Stelly. I had to go there.
No, but it's so true, right? So do you want to spend your time putting out fires or do you want to spend more time preventing them so you don't have to go there?
Totally.
And I think when there's no fire, it's so easy to just relax and wait for the next one versus snap into prevention mode.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And being like, what's going to be, what is the problem that I'm not seeing manifested yet, but is about to go down?
No, and in business, it's like they come from everywhere. Like the fires come from everywhere, right? Like it's like almost people throwing fireballs at you at times, right?
Yeah.
And so I think I really like that attitude of like trying to be preventative. Because if you can solve all the ones you can find and see and all that and just solve them before they happen, then you won't be so distracted when a big one comes. Because they come out of nowhere. We had a class action lawsuit. Yeah. The market right now is a big fire drill, if not a fire literally for a lot of people, right?
Yep.
So,
So let's end with some tips. And here's my question that will potentially make you give the tip, which is when people listen to us with this, if especially somebody that's less experienced, they might get everything. But then the question that I get asked a lot of times is, cool, how do I get better at this? Like without 10 years of experience, like what can I do in lieu of experience to get good at this?
I like that question, and I think it's a good tip too to even ask yourself that. Am I good at this? Am I good at firefighting? Do I need to be good at figuring this out? Like, because like some people just don't, right? Because they're specialists or in a certain situation where it's just more stable, right? Yeah. So I think identifying even if this is something you need to figure out, but like for me, like how do you get good at it is it's as simple as recognizing it. I come up with these frameworks like the space thing from like other stuff. Like there's an earth, fire, wind, water thing and stuff that someone told me once. And I'm like, that's too spiritual. Let's talk about like how this applies to business, right?
Yeah.
And so I think just coming up with some way to think about it, right? So for me, it's like, again, just taking that analogy, it's like, you get better at it when you realize the difference between the forest and the trees. And the difference between the forest, the trees, and space. Because space is great. That's where strategy gets formed, right? Like, or that's where the raw material of strategy comes from, which is like, what's my market? Whether it's jobs to be done or personas, whatever you use, right? What's the landscape look like? What are alternatives? What are things people are doing? And then that to me is also a skill. So it's a skill. The skill and the thing I try to think about is like, am I in the trees? Am I in the forest? Or am I in space? And another alternative to that would be, where are other people around me? Right? The board's usually in space, and in board meetings, you bring them down all the way if you need to.
Yeah.
Right? And when you're firefighting, you generally have to show them and all that. Yeah. So that's a whole different story. But like in general, I think the tip I would give and the way you get better is by just recognition.
So my tip on this, I'm not sure about it, but one thing that I think if you are less experienced in putting out fires, working with fires, preventing fires in the business context, I think one just great way is to go somewhere and learn from somebody that's great at that, somebody that has like 5-10 years of experience. And one thing is to just ask them to verbalize what had happened. Or, hey, Heaton, right now, what's the biggest fire in your business? How do you deal with it? That can teach you a lot. But it's on a totally different level if you work somewhere and you pay attention to how they deal with real crisis. And a lot of times, young people, and we have this episode about like humanizing your heroes. When like interns, when you intern somewhere and you come into a new business, you idolize kind of the CEO and the founder so much. And what you're looking for is perfection versus what you should be looking for is when things are bad, how do they act? When problems come up, how do they act? The things that
do they even recognize problems is the deeper one I go into.
Yeah. Are they good at that or not? Hey, if they are bad at certain things in this company, not just, wow, they're not perfect at everything, but do they choose to be bad at these things? Are they bad because it's convenient? Like, just because the powerful thing is you can be really involved in the business and be kind of in the middle of everything, but you're still removed from it. It's not your business, right? You're still just a new employee or an intern or something. So there's a lot that you can learn. An experience if you have that mind frame of observing things that way.
Yeah, I'll give one that's an extension because many of us can't work at companies or even observe them like that. So I would say that like what I find interesting is when a business is in a crisis, what do they say?
Mm.
Right now, Apple's in a crisis, yeah. Right? Like just right now. And I think Tim Cook's a very private person, right? For all kinds of reasons, but he's a private person. Like he runs one of the largest companies on the planet, so that'll make you private. But like he just responded and he threw down and he said, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. We're not doing what you want. And here's why, right? Just deeply, here's why. Like, don't mess with us. Here's why.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're going to hit a lot of resistance here.
Yeah.
And, I think that's very educational, right? There's even like, if you want to go to a different level, there's like, Evan Spiegel from Snapchat, he's written some public letters.
Yeah.
I think Travis from Uber has written some public letters. And a lot of these are either crisis or when the company's under attack, like from something, somebody. What have they written? At Kissmetrics, we had to write a blog. I wrote a blog post.
Mm-hmm.
I had to discuss it with the lawyers. It took a week, but like I wrote a blog post, right? So like I study a lot of those, especially after having gone through that, I had to study them. But like, so now when I see stuff like that, it's really educational.
Mm.
Especially like if you go back to like Enron and all that, and what they were publicly saying versus the truth.
Because
I can probably give you an example of like lies.
Yeah. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
And you probably, 2016 is going to be a great year for observing a lot of these
just get crisis right. Other people's mistakes, right?
Yes, crisis communication. All right, this is it from us. Make sure to join our Facebook group, thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. We share some of the best leaks around entrepreneurship, startups, led by the one and only, the best, the oracle of content curation.
Sure.
Heaton Shah.
What about you, huh?
And then also, if you enjoy the episodes, give us a rating. That helps a lot. Just go on iTunes. Give us whatever rating you want, 1 star, 5 stars. Write feedback, good or bad. We really enjoy it. We learn a lot from it. And that's it from us. We'll hear you very soon.
Later.